Okay, if you would, please take out with me. Your outlines are there in your bulletins. And we'll be looking at Revelation chapter 4 and parts of Revelation 5 here in a few moments. So if you want to go ahead and open up to that. We won't be looking at the entire Revelation 5 later on, but we will be reading all of Revelation 4. However, before we begin, if you remember, a few weeks ago, I asked if anybody has any questions about heaven. Okay, to write it down and turn it in. You guys must not ask any questions because I got nothing. Okay? So today was fact, well, not today, but next week, until I realized it was Labor Day, not sure how we're going to do it yet. If you have any questions, please write them down. And if you don't want to be seen, I didn't want Pastor Brian to know I'm the one that asked a certain question. I will close my eyes at the end of the service, and you can come up here and place it on by the pulpits. Nobody sees you. No, but and just if you do have any questions, please write them down, because pretty soon I'm going to be starting to answer those questions. I have had a couple of people come up to me personally. I won't say who. Okay, and ask me a couple of different questions, and that, so we'll be answering those. But we will be starting in answering those as we begin wrapping up our series of looking at heaven. But if you would, please stand with me today as we read together Revelation 4. For Revelation 4, I will be reading out of the NIV. After this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby. A rainbow that shone like an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. In front of the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Also in front of the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center around the throne were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second, like an ox. The third had a face like a man. The fourth, like a flying eagle. Each had four living creatures. Each of the four living creatures, had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under its wings. Day and night, they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." Father God, we do praise you again today, and we thank you for the privilege of being able to come to you through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to hear your word, to hear your message. We thank you that we are able to do this because of what Christ has done for us on the cross, dying and in his resurrection, giving us the opportunity, the blessing of new life through forgiveness through him. Lord, we pray that you be with this worship service. We pray that you touch our hearts. And once again, we ask you to open our eyes, our ears, and especially our hearts to what you have to say. We pray this together in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I remember back in the day as a youth, about, I don't know what, for sure what age I was, probably about 8, 9, give or take, about the first time that I heard about heaven and eternity. And I probably heard it before that. This is when I first started remembering it as a kid, you know. Not a lot of times we don't remember everything as kids. Okay, but this is probably about the age when I first started remembering, hearing about eternity and heaven and forgiveness and that. And I remember hearing about how in heaven we were going to be worshiping God all the time. Okay, day and night. And they would go back to this verse in 24. And it wasn't until around 12 that I really started remembering this and just different things. And probably around 12 anyway. I remember one night, a Sunday night service, it was talked about how day and night in heaven, that's all we're going to do is worship God. Day and night. Day and night. And we think about 24/7. Of course, we're thinking hours and just everything. And in my mind, all I could see was those creatures in Revelation and us, that all we get to do is just fall down and worship. That's all we get to do. Now, you got to understand, I'm thinking as a kid here at that point. Okay? Don't misunderstand me. I loved going to church. I loved going to Sunday school. We had a group that we called Kids Club as a young kid that we got to go to on Wednesday nights. Later on, you got to graduate to youth group, you know, to the fourth and fifth grades, I think it was. Then you got to go to the big boys youth group, you know, to the high school and everything, and just junior high and that. And I loved being there. But I got to admit to you, as a youth, thinking that all I get to do is sit in a pew all the time in a worship service and hear somebody preach, because that's what my thought was of worship. Because that's when we worshiped, was when we went to church. Now, how many of us are willing to look at it or say, hey, at one time, maybe as a kid, we all thought that. That when I talk about the 24 elders worship, it's meant that we were all in one great big church, having one great big worship service that never ended. Now, don't hate me, because this is not where it ends. Okay? Don't get mad at me yet. But I thought about missing out on playing baseball, spending time with my friends, riding bikes, not getting in trouble, of course, and just doing the summer things that kids do. Because that's how I pictured heaven. Was we just get to sit there, and I love Jesus, but all we get to do is just sit there and worship. To a kid, and even still today, to some adults who don't understand what we're talking about, get that mental picture. That we come to church on Sunday mornings, and as much as what we love being here, if we were to do this 24/7, every day of the week, my guess is, as much as we love each other, we're going to get bored with each other. If we're thinking of that on these terms. If I had to be with my wife 24/7, I would love it. She would kick me in the butt. Okay? But think about it. I mean, but that, if we're picturing worship as that way, we're going to have the wrong idea of what the worship is that's taking place here. Yes, there is bowing down. And that's what we're talking about today, our life in heaven and what it means when it's talking about authentic worship. One Sunday, I asked my Sunday school teachers, if all we do in heaven is get to worship Jesus, I know that sounds wrong. Okay, all we do is get to, you know, when we get to heaven, all we get to do. But I remember thinking as a kid, and I remember them trying to explain it to me and everything, and I'm just saying, I just don't get it. And they said, well, don't let it bother you, because no matter what it's like in heaven, even if that is all we do, you're going to like it. And I'm here, that really doesn't encourage me a whole lot. Okay, because coming out and looking at it differently. As I said, unfortunately, many adults have the same thoughts when they misunderstand what's actually taking place. That although they want to be with Christ, although we are thankful for what Jesus has done for us on the cross, Although we want to be with him in eternal glory, if we misunderstand what is taking place as far as worship, every moment of every second that we are in eternity, and looking at it this way, we may get the assumption or the feeling, man, I don't know. Yeah, I want to be there, but I just don't know about that. I love coming to church. I love coming to worship. I just don't know if I want to do that. And that's because we misunderstand what worship is truly. If there's one thing that could be said today, which there's not, there's a lot. God is anything but boring. God is anything but boring. Seeing God and being with God will never get static. No matter what our picture is of glory and whatever our picture is of heaven may be and everything, we aren't even coming close to touching the surface on what it's truly going to be like. Seeing God will be, in the words of JJ from Good Times, dynamite! Okay? Those that have no idea, Google it. You'll find it, okay? The more we study Revelation, the more we study just different things, especially looking at Revelation 4 and 5, we see an ever-deepening appreciation of God's greatness. A deepening appreciation for his love. What we see in Revelation in a couple of verses that we're going to be looking at in chapter 5, we see an appreciation of God's greatness. That's what we see taking place. What we see in those chapters is not all that there is to heaven. But even if it were, it would be enough. There is more to heaven than just those few little verses that we see. But even if it weren't, in the eyes or in the words of my Sunday school teachers, and I understand it now, it would be enough. Remember, in heaven, we will be where? At home. We will be at home with God. Now think about that for a moment. We will be at home with God. When we're having a bad day after work, where do we like to go? Home. If we're not feeling good, you know, we're out at the grocery store, all of a sudden we don't start feeling good. Okay, we're getting sick or whatever. We like to go home. If we had a good day at work, we want to go home and share it with people, with our family. And that's exactly where we're going to be. We are going to be at home. Where do we like to go if we're in trouble or when we're in sickness? Home. People who love God will never become bored in his presence. Remember that the members of the triune God, of the triune Godhead, excuse me, exist in eternal relationship with each other. To see God is to participate in the infinite delight of having communion with them. And I don't mean just communion, I'm talking about being with them, communing with them, talking with them, walking hand in hand, just like Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden. That's what we're talking about today. So one thing we need to do is this. Understanding worship that includes everything and everyone. Revelation 5, verses 11 through 14 read like this. And if you're following along in your Bibles, that's great. I'm actually, these verses, doing the New Living Translation. Then I looked again, and I heard the singing of thousands of millions of angels around the throne, and the living beings and elders. They sang a mighty chorus. The Lamb is worthy. The Lamb who was killed. He is worthy to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea. They also sang, blessing and honor and glory and power belong to the one sitting on the throne and the Lamb forever and ever. And the four living beings said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped God and the Lamb. Now you get the picture? This is everybody in heaven, basically, that John saw there, bowing down and worshiping. Okay? People are always striving to celebrate. I mean, look at all the different things, all the celebrations that we see on TV. We got the Oscars, you got the Emmys, you got the Daytime Emmys, you got the Country Music Association, you got the American Music Country or whatever. It seems like you got always some type of award to celebrate what people have achieved. There's some type of celebration taking place. In our relationship with God through Christ our Savior and the promise of heaven, we are given reason to celebrate. And that's exactly what's taking place in heaven, is a big celebration. And I don't mean to downplay what's taking place here, but that's what's taking place in our worship. Thank you. Is that we are in a celebration of what God has done for us through Christ. When it talks there in those verses we just read in Revelation 5, in Revelation 21:3, I think we're missing a slide there. Yes, there, thank you. In our relationship with God through Christ our Savior and the promise of heaven, we are given reason to celebrate. Revelation 21:3 says, I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, Look, the home of God is now among his people. He will live with them, they will be his people, and God himself will be their God. Not only is that something that we look forward to, but it's something that we will be celebrating. Matter of fact, we should start celebrating it now. Whether it be here in this worship service or in our worship of living our life for him, which we're going to be talking about. It is interesting how so many people look at heaven as being one endless worship service. And then they usually compare it to a certain worship style of today. Okay? And there's a lot of different worship styles, I get that. But they usually compare it to this worship style that they're used to. Okay? Now, like I said before, if we came here day in and day out and worshiped the same way, the same songs and everything, in this lifetime, we would start getting whatever. If we don't do what we're talking about, which we're going to get to. Will we be engaged in endless worship? Yes and no. It all depends on what our view of worship is. It all depends on what our view of worship is. If we have a narrow view of what worship is how we do it every Sunday morning, in a certain style with certain songs or certain type of songs or whatever, because that's how we've always done it, then we will not be in endless worship in heaven. Because that is not all that takes place. If we have a broad view of worship, remembering we are new, what in heaven? Creatures in heaven. Because we have been changed at the resurrection. Remember, that was one of our first lessons we started talking about when we started this series about being changed. Whether, the resurrection of the bodies or if we're still alive when it happens, we're instantly changed just like that. In the what of an eye? Man, you guys are doing good today. You're on top of it. We have new bodies, new attitudes, a new mindset, and realizing that every activity of life, business, play, friendships, education, cannot escape the claims of Christ's kingship. And we need to realize that in our own life today. Not just wait till we get to heaven. But everything about us cannot escape Christ's kingship. Our relationship with our families, good thing most times. Okay? For the most part. I mean, everybody has their issues at times, I get it. But we have friends, we have work relationships, education, all that stuff is all part of living a life of worshiping, not worshiping ourselves, but worshiping Christ through the things we do. The last few weeks, whatever it's been for, whatever weeks we've been talking about witnessing in Sunday school. And we've been talking about today about, you know, people watch us all the time and everything. But not only do people watch us, but God watches us. And our attitudes towards friendships, or the things we do, are all part of a continual worship that we have of Jesus. They may not necessarily be a certain song or a certain deal or whatever as what we do here, but it's all part of a Christian worshiping Christ through who they are. And in heaven, that's going to become so much more clear to us than I could even try to put today. That everything we do, remember, we're going to be talking, we talked about how the New Jerusalem comes down, and we're going to be doing things. And we talk about, you know, Adam and Eve in the beginning, they had a job to do. Remember what that job was? Take care of the garden. I don't know exactly what that means since it was perfect, but they had to do something. There's no weeds. They didn't have tomato plants like mine that are falling over, okay, and stuff like that, that they still were given a responsibility. They walked with God, and we're going to be doing things. So it's not just a come to a worship service, sit in a pew type thing and sit there forever. That's not what this worship is all about. My point is simply this. If we think worship is something we do at certain times in a certain way, we're missing out on what worship is. And we're missing what worship in heaven or in the life to come is going to be all about. But when we realize that true worship is about worshiping God through who we are, then we start to look at worship a little bit differently. And soon, a lot differently. Will we always be on our face, as we read in those verses, at Christ's feet? No. Because Scripture says we will be doing other things. Living in a new place, as I said, and working for Him and doing things. And we're even told we're going to be doing what with Christ? Reigning with Him. Scripture describes people standing, walking, traveling in and out of the city, gathering together for feasts. And in doing these things, we're not always just going to be on our faces. And if we were, that'd be great, because we would be there, but we will be feeling an act of worship in everything we do. We need to understand today that worship is more than singing and praying at certain times, on a Sunday morning or whatever. Worship is about pleasing God in everything we do. Worship is about pleasing God in everything we do. And when we understand this, then we begin to see boring is something authentic worship can never be. Boring is something authentic worship can never be. For me personally, I think one of the biggest mistakes that many churches are making today, and there's a lot of them, is trying to make worship interesting by making worship entertaining. Okay? Now, I understand that you got to keep people's attention. I get that. As great as I am, you don't want to see me up here for 4 hours. Okay? Well, maybe you do. I don't know. Okay? Who said no? Okay. But you get what I'm saying. Okay? I understand that there's some things and people are used to different things, especially in today's society, and we do different things, you know, trying to different things. I get that, and I have no problem with that. But I was watching a video about how a church in a smaller town had grown over the past few years, and how a lot of people were drawn to them, not only because of their more modern music, but just a more lively style of worship. you know, they're doing this and just doing this and constantly move things moving about and just do different things and everything. But the people began to see that there was something that was lacking. And that was true gospel preaching. There was a lot of stuff taking place. And there was preaching, but there was no true gospel preaching taking place. Okay? And soon the church began to realize that, you know, they had all these people visiting, but they weren't necessarily growing on Sunday attendance. And they began to realize that as many people were coming in the front door visiting, just as many were going out the so-called back door because they were getting bored with the service. And they felt they weren't getting fed. They felt they weren't getting fed. And it was a tough lesson for that church to go through. And thankfully they found and changed things. Now I realize that some things or some subjects, even in the Bible, can be less interesting to some people than what they are to others. I get that. Doesn't mean we just give up on it or dull subject. I'm not saying that. Some people, like I love looking at the history stuff. I like looking at the whole Bible as a pastor. I get that. But I really like looking at the history stuff. I know a lot of people that aren't really too crazy about history. Okay? I loved history in school. I was probably about the only kid in my class that did. I didn't say I did good at it. I just said I liked it. Okay? So I realized that there's some subjects that, you know, whatever. For instance, how many times have we sat through, and Pastor, you can try to testify to this, we've sat through a message about David and Goliath and Daniel in the lion's den and thought, man, I get another message on this today. I've been here since I was 5 years old. Something new can I learn now? But we can't. But we can be tempted to have that type of thinking. I understand that some Sundays we're tired and just not ready to focus on what is being sung or said. Even pastors have those Sundays, people. It happens. But when we take time to continually, on a regular basis, probe into God, His Word, and what He's done, the more we realize how fascinating He is, and the deeper we want to get to know Him. We each have our days, but if we regularly do that, the deeper we go, the more satisfied we are. And in eternity, we'll get to know Him as we talked about last week. Remember? Face to face. We're going to get to know a lot about God when we're up there in heaven. We're going to have a lot of time to do it, too. There's a song by John G. Eliot with the words that say this: as eternity unfolds, the thrill of knowing Him will grow. The thrill of knowing Him will grow. It is said that this life is a preliminary life to our eternal life. In other words, we're practicing now what we're going to be doing then. And we're practicing worship so that we can get it right in heaven. We're never going to get it perfect here, but we're going to be worshiping God in heaven. In eternity, we worship God, not just at a certain service or twice a year on certain holidays. But in eternity, we will worship Christ, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit in every aspect of ourselves, with every part of our being, in everything we do. When we begin to understand worship, that type of worship today, it's about every aspect of ourselves. We begin to look at what that worship in eternity is going to be like. And as great as what we might think, okay, we get to be there, I just don't know about that worship service, we're not going to be worried about it, because we are going to be worshiping with our heart. Last night, and I about the movie last night, okay, I wanted to say that I had never seen that movie before last night, okay? So part of the message kind of correlated right along with that. Last night we watched a movie about a youth pastor trying to get a youth of his church to take the relationship with God seriously. So in preparing for the last several weeks for this message today, really, I had not seen that movie yet. So it's just what I'm about to say just kind of fell into with it. But in that movie, I said the pastor was going through some rough times of trying to get his youth group to take seriously their relationship with God, with Christ. Okay? And I can remember one of the churches I was at as a youth pastor, they had gone through some situations before I got there, not them, whatever. They'd gone through some situations that dropped the numbers quite a bit. Just different things that happened. And they're basically looking for a miracle to take place when I got there. I'm not a miracle worker. I'm just saying that's what they were looking for. Got there within 6 months, some of the people were not happy because it had not grown numerically the way they wanted it to. Okay? So I got called into the assistant pastor's office. I was the youth pastor. When you get called into a meeting, it's never good. Okay? Even as a pastor, okay, just the way it is. And he said that some of the people were upset and everything, blah, 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 going on. I said, you know what? I can have a program here starting next week that will draw in youth like crazy. I can bring in bouncy houses. I can do all this different stuff. I can change it all up, whatever you want to do. I said, but the question we have to ask ourselves, are we more interested in numbers? Are we more interested about the woes that we do have, building them up spiritually and strengthening their relationship? I'm not saying we'll ever get huge numbers, but I can say we will do our best at building them up spiritually. About 6 months after that, a youth praise band formed at our church. They began leading the worship on Sunday mornings at our church. They began doing specials around town in different places at different camps. Soon we were having just youth worship nights on Sunday evenings at our church, where over 100 youth were coming every night that we had it. Twice a month is when we had it. Churches with their own youth groups were coming to that. Now, I'm not trying to brag. I'm just simply saying we worried about, or we focused on, spiritual growth before we worried about the numbers. When we focus on our spiritual growth, that's what we're called to do. Yeah, we're called to reach out. I'm not saying that. But we are called to spiritually grow. If we do not take our own personal worship life seriously, how will we be a positive influence on others? If we don't take our own spiritual life seriously now, how are we preparing for eternity to come? If we do not take our worship life seriously now, how can we help but become bored? This week, Nola had a post on Facebook page that went like this. Your pastor is not the only one who should prepare for services this Sunday. Pray for a move of the Spirit and begin building your expectancy of God and what he's going to do. In other words, start praying what God wants from you in this worship service, and how he wants to touch your heart. I understand that there's many different worship styles. I'm not talking about that. Some people like certain styles, some people don't. That's fine. But when we take our personal worship life seriously, and everything we do, realize that we are worshiping, worship will never be boring. And we will never get enough of worshiping. But yet we will still be fully satisfied through Christ. I'm going to say it again. When we take our personal life, not just a day, not just a moment when we're here for another 2 hours to go, but our personal life seriously, worship will never be boring. We will never get enough of worshiping. But yet we will still be fully satisfied through Christ. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, again, we thank you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you of every moment that we have and our actions and things we do and our thoughts of worshiping you. And Lord, we know that sometimes our actions aren't what you want. We know that even more times our thoughts are not what you want. Lord, I ask you to speak to our hearts. And if there's someone here today that's never come to you and asked for forgiveness, never come to you for salvation, that you would just speak to them right now. Lord, if there's someone like me who understands that, hey, yeah, there's sometimes I think a lot of junky stuff, I ask for your forgiveness. If there's things that, like I've done, that are not pleasing you, I ask for forgiveness. Lord, help us to look at our life, everything about us, our relationships, our jobs, our retirements, or whatever it is, are all part of worshiping you when we truly allow it. We thank you. Amen.